morning. We're going to continue the sugya of Ribbis Eidei Mekach U'Memkar. I'd like to just begin by briefly summarizing the halachas that we've learned over the past 3 weeks, and then continuing with the next part of the sugya. The first case of Ribbis Eidei Mekach U'Memkar is when you sell something and you have a higher price for people who buy on credit. In such a case, if you're mafarish, if there's a cheaper price, if there's a buy it now price, and then your people who buy on credit are charged a higher price, that is mafarish, and that is always going to be asur. If you're not mafarish, the person comes in and you just quote him a price, you know he wants credit, so you just inflate the price a little bit, but it's not mafarish and it's not obvious, it doesn't have a clear set price. So in that case, it will be mutter. Since you aren't mafarish and it's not obvious that he's getting a discount, it's not mechzi karibis, and that would be okay. Now we pointed out that many cases of ribis are disguised, and instead of very often stores, instead of telling people they're going to charge a higher price for credit, they will instead tell people that there's a cash and carry discount. According to most poskim, we do not look at the terminology that's used. The bottom line is, if this buyer, if he pays cash, he pays one price. If he pays with terms, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, there's going to be a higher price. That itself will be like mefarish, and that will be usur. And there's a store in Lakewood, actually, it's a grocery store, that they very much do not want to give credit. Now, it's hard to run a grocery store in Lakewood without giving credit. So they wanted to set up some arrangements where you can get credit, but they're going to give a discount for people who pay cash, who pay at the time of the purchase. And the owner of the store happens to be an einikol of Rav Nosson Kistetner, L'hoyrus Nosson. So he gave him the following etza. What he said is like this. If you hang up, if the deal in the store is that if you come in, you pay cash, then you pay one price. And if you buy in credit, you pay a higher price. That's going to be awesome. So what you can do is like this. You can run a sale, or you can publish coupons. The coupon will be for 10% off. You can only use the coupon if you pay cash. Now, what will happen then? What that means is, if a person walks into the store without the coupon, so whether he pays cash or whether he pays credit, it's the same price. There's no fee for credit, so it's a set price, and obviously there's no problem there. If a person comes and he has the coupon and he pays cash, he meets both conditions, then he can get a discount. But in this case, since the discount is not automatic, if you pay cash, without the coupon, you will still pay the full price. There, Rav Nosson Kistetner held that it is not the equivalent of a mefarish. This is not charging extra specifically for credit, because there's another condition that needs to be met. You need the coupon. And in that case, he was matarit. Now, you do have to be careful. If the cashier always has a stack of coupons, and anytime someone's there with cash, you get handed a coupon, obviously that would be like mafarish. But if it is a real thing and only people with the coupons are eligible for this discount, then it would not be mafarish, and that would be mutter. So that is the first case. Then we have the opposite issue, and that is, very often you have a store and they will offer you a discount for prepayment. Now here we flip the ribbis. In the first case, where you're paying a higher price for paying later, so there the customer was the loiva, he was borrowing from the store, he was paying later. And the higher price that he was paying, that higher price, that was the interest, if you will, on the loan, on the fact that he was not paying on time. The opposite case is a prepayment discount. And that is when stores will offer you, if you pay up front, if you pay in advance, you will get a cheaper price. Over here, the customer is the malva. He's advancing money to the store. In exchange, the store is selling him the goods at a discount. So that discount, the fact that it's cheaper, than he's getting it for less than if he would pay at the time of delivery, that discount is the ribbis, and that would be usur the other way around. Now here also, if the store is mefarish, the store says, if you pay in advance, this is the price. If you wait until delivery, it's a higher price. That will always be usur. If you're not mafarish, if you don't make it clear, and you don't specify that there's going to be a discount for prepayment, But someone comes in and says, I have cash, I'll pay in advance. How much do you want for it? So here, in a case where it's Shemas and Yadua, where there's the item has a well-defined price, so then selling it for below that price is generally going to be Asur. However, if it's Ein Shemas and Yadua, if there's no clear price, and it's nothing spoken out, then it will be Mutter. Excuse me? No, it doesn't make a difference who initiates the conversation. If at the end of the day, the deal is, if I pay today, I get a discount. If I wait until delivery, then I will pay a higher price. That will always be mafarish, and that will always be usur.
Seller, you should just, how are you paying? Is that okay?
If they walk in and the seller, the chavis das, I mean, if there's nothing mafarish, it's not explicit, there are two price levels. You know, if he asks how much does it cost, and you say it depends, how are you paying? Then you're being mafarish that there's going to be a difference. But if in the beginning of the conversation you ask him, by the way, are you cash or credit? And then there's no direct linkage, that would be mutter. Now this comes...
If you pay someone money, that product is not in yet. But you want to make sure that you get it. It's not going to be in for a month. You may not be around. So I'll pay you more now. So you owe that one for me.
If you want to pay more now, that's fine. Because the malva is paying the life of the ribbis. But the issue is if you pay less now, then already you run into an issue. Now, the most common case of this issue is when a store is running a sale and they run out of the item. So very often they'll tell people, if you want this discount price, you have to pay up front. Here, you're being mafarish. They're saying there's a discounted price. It's only available for the people who pay today and get delivery in a month from now. So if it's a mafarish, it will be usur. Now, there is a little bit of an etzah. If you're not mafarish, if you don't say specifically that pay today, you'll get the discount. If you wait, you won't. But let's say you just say, pay me today and I'll put in the order. Then the halacha is, if it's a yeshla, if you have it in stock, then it's mutter. If it's einla, if you don't have any, if you sold out, you have absolutely none of them left, then as long as you're selling it for below the market value, it's going to be awesome. But if it's yeshla, if you have it in stock, if a person has goods, he can sell it for whatever price he wants. So in this case, if it's a yeshloi, even if you're giving a discount, as long as you don't specifically say the discount's only for prepayment, that will be mutter. So if you're running a sale, as long as you're not mafarish, and as long as you keep one in stock, then it's okay. You can go and you can sell it now to 50 different customers. Because each customer that comes in, it's yeshloi. You have one in stock, so you can go ahead and do this. So it doesn't matter how many times you do it, but you have to make sure that you at least keep one in stock and that you could do this and to be placed on.
Even if you can get it at that lower price from the distributor right now,
the seller can get it at this lower price, but the retail price is higher. So it is clear the buyer is getting a discount. He's a retail buyer. He's getting it at the wholesale price in exchange for advancing money. So that right, that's when it's available, when the buyer and when it's readily available at that price. Over here, it is not readily available to the buyer at that price. It's only the seller, so he's getting it, this price he cannot get by paying in a normal situation. He's only getting it because he's advancing the money. He could buy it from someone else. It's a pikadoin. You do say that, but in a case where you could buy it from someone else, then clearly not. It's yotza hashar, but that won't help you when you're mafarish and you say clearly that I'm giving the discount because of the hagdamas mois.
In a store in which the salespeople have discretion that if you want to pay cash for something now, they can give 0% discount or up to 20% if they pay it right now. Or they can pay the label cash price for 120 days. Now they can try to sell it right now for that full cash price. But if they're not getting the sale, then maybe they have authority to offer up to the 10 or 20%.
So when they offer a discount, when the customer comes in and it's $100 if you pay with terms, but now if you pay up front, we'll give you a 10% discount. At that point, they're being mafarish.
Even if they've been haggling for a bit, it's not like the first thing that's said.
That's true, but that makes it worse. Because they first said the price, you have 120 days terms, the price is 100. Now they tell you, but if you pay cash, we'll give it to you for less. At that point, they're being mefarish. Now, even in that case, if the person wants to pay cash, that's fine. But if he takes the terms and pays the higher price, that is the first category of ribis that we discussed, and that would be a problem. Very good, very good. So that pashtus should be a problem. That pashtus should be a problem. There are mekilim that say that when you subscribe to a newspaper, the discount, if you figure out the discount that you're getting, they're paying an incredible amount of interest. You're getting it for half price, a third the price of the. So what's the pshat? Are they so desperate for money they're willing to pay 200-300% interest for your $50 loan? The answer is that there are a lot of other factors. When you're subscribing, you're buying it directly from the publisher, as opposed to buying it in your grocery and the middleman taking the cut. When you subscribe, they have you locked in. You're not going to 1 week buy this newspaper, the other week buy the other newspaper. And lastly, they can turn to their advertisers. It's very valuable for them to show how many subscribers they have. So based on that, many places can say it is not yotza ashar. Although we know how much one newspaper should cost, we don't know how much a commitment to buy 50 newspapers should cost. And since we don't know how much that would cost, and if you would say I'm paying at the end of the year, how much would it cost to subscribe? So because of that, it is lo yotza ashar in many cases. It's not obvious that part of this discount is because of the hakdamas mois, and therefore they're mekilim. We're going to get back to this. You know, there's another problem here that we'll get back to at the end of the year, but as far as this issue, there's malkum lahakol if it's not obvious that the discount is because of the hakdamas mois.
It's because of the yotza ashar, or is it because the reason why you're giving money earlier cheaper is because they
want to
lock you in?
No, it's the point is they want to lock you in. The problem is that the chances are part of the factor is also that they're getting the money up front. So what do you do when there are two factors? So there you can clear. But to the extent that there are two factors and no one knows how much each is worth, it's now lo yotza ashar, and therefore it should be mutter.
Does a camp go by camp?
Okay, camp we'll get to. Camp will be an issue also of Skiras Pilo and Kaplan. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, a very common scenario that comes up with this is very often a company will sell gift cards at a discount. $100 credit that you pay $90 for. Now what's happening? What does that mean? That means you pay $90 today and you are entitled to $100 worth of merchandise. Well, chayra, this is a case. You're being magdia mois. You're not getting the merchandise today. In exchange for this hakdamas mois, then it's going to be mutter, and you're getting this $10 extra merchandise, which l'chayr is a ribis, that's the payment for your hakdamas mois. Now over here, there's an interesting head to the Prisuda brings down a Pnei Yeshua and Daf Samach Gimel that says that no. The case that we were all talking about were, you went to a store, you order something. So the store tells you, I'll have it in stock next month. If you pay me today, I'll give it to you at a cheaper price. So you're being magdim the mois, you're paying in advance, you're getting a discount, that's going to be awesome. When you buy a gift card, if you want to, you can take the gift card and spend it immediately. Now, in all likelihood, you may not do that. You buy a $1,000 gift card to a grocery, they know that you're probably not going to buy $1,000 worth of milk immediately. But you have the right to do that. So Zakta Pnei Yeshua, when you're giving money in advance, and the buyer has the right to take immediate delivery, there he says there's no halva, there's no hakdamas mois, and even if he chooses to wait, then the Pnei Yeshua says it would always be mutter. So in such a case where you're paying for the gift card, you can use it immediately, there the Pnei Yeshua says that it's mutter. Now the Bris Yehuda in his Sefer points out, the Chafetz Das seems to argue, and he's not machriya either way, but there was a shayla that came up recently, and someone spoke to him directly, and it seems that today he holds that he was samech on the Pnei Yeshua, and halacha l'maisa, he was matir of such a case. Now, there was a very similar case recently, that before Hanukkah, there was a restaurant that ran a promotion, where if you paid $30, they gave you a $36 gift card or gift certificate to the restaurant. Now, this promotion was run about a month before Hanukkah, and it had to be used on Hanukkah. Now, in such a case, what's really happening? You're paying $30 in advance. You're getting a $36 credit, but you couldn't use it right away. You had to wait the 2 weeks, the month, until Hanukkah for it to be used. So in such a case, the Pnei Yeshuas Heter would not apply, and that would be Aser. Now, this is all Derech Mekach U'Memkar. The Mishnah, and this is what really the Shir was focused on last week. They might be wanting to get your business, but the bottom line is they're insisting on getting the money in advance, and in exchange for the money in advance, they're giving you a discount. So that is the classic case of being Magda Mois. Every Hakdamas Mois, to a certain extent, you're locking the person in. But when they're Mefarish, they're telling you we're giving you this discount, you're back to a problem. Okay, that's Psika. That we'll get to. I don't know if we'll get to the airline reservations, but that we'll get to. Well, in the what he was busy with over there is saying, perhaps now I'm renting the seat on the plane on that 747 that's flying in 3 months from now. Well, which is a big enough chiddush to say it by an airline. To say that now I am buying that, falafel bowl right now is. But it's hard to reserve. If a plane exists and I'm reserving that seat, the aisle seat over there, I'm reserving it now, okay, maybe. Chiddush, but maybe. But to say I'm reserving that falafel bowl, it doesn't exist now. It has the table, you don't pay for the table, you pay for the food. And if the food is there already a month before Hanukkah, you have bigger problems than ribbis.
There's no guarantee of delivery. The person might not just give you, may forget. And so there's not necessarily
Well, the seller is committing to deliver. Now, if the buyer goes to sleep and decides not to use it, that's his problem. But in exchange for the $30, the seller is committing to deliver $36 worth of goods. Who says you'll have to purchase an option? But at the end of this year, we'll try to get to options. And I know I committed to saying a lot of things at the end of this year, but we'll see how far we get. So that's a good point. When we talk about Yotze Hashara, if you're not Mefarish, if you don't say specifically that I'm going to give you a cheaper price for paying up front, then if there's a range of prices, lawyers, Nuss, and Paskins, that whole range is all okay. So even though you personally would normally be on the top of the range, if someone comes in and pays up front, you can offer it them at the bottom of the range. However, if you have a sign hanging behind your counter saying how much this thing costs, and now someone offers cash in advance, that will be mefarish. But you're right. In a case where there is a range and there's no direct mefarish, you can play with moving above or below, on the top or the bottom end of the range. Right. That will always be motzah because there's no hakdamas mois there. Because the person gives you the money and he buys the house immediately. The issue is only when I say pay today and I'll close in a few months from now. Pay today as opposed to at the closing? Okay, so as far as security, we'll get to the Marsham that we have, the Maram Kamos. We'll get to that hopefully at the end of this year. The problem that you have in these cases is there are Mishnayos that say these cases are Asa. Ein placing on a pair is Achi Yotza Hashar. You can always argue that there's an advantage of being locked in the Mois because you have the person locked in. But the Mishnah seems to reject that argument per se. And you need to have, today, very often, you can argue put the money in escrow, or there are other options. But if the only justification is that the person, you have a customer, you have a problem because the Mishnah seems to reject that particular justification. But we'll get back to a similar case. That's true, but for that matter, you don't need the money up front. You can have a commitment, have them sign a contract, and make some sort of, you know, have lock them in. Now, Elamai, you have collection issues. That's true. I hear the point. But when you have Mishnayos that say that anytime you accept money in advance, there's a mechzi karibis, that the assumption is that the discount is because of the halva and not because of the customer, you have to come up with another justification to be matarit. You can't, because this is something which is built into every single case, you know, in every situation. Now, this is all by mekach u'memkar. You're buying and you're selling. As Rabbi Gwurzman pointed out last week, if you're dealing with schirus, if you're renting a house, there the halacha is different. And there the halacha is that as long as you start, if you're paying either when the rental starts or the halacha we hold is when you make a kinyan, the moment you make a kinyan, you've rented that house, even though you're not moving in right away, there's no problem with giving a prepayment discount. And the reason is it's not considered a prepayment, it's considered an immediate kinyan right now. Now, the Shach is Moisef, and truth, it's really, really Gemara, that a similar halacha will apply by Schiras Pailim. If you pay a worker in advance, it'll depend exactly what's going on. A regular Pail, we've learned, halacha is a Pail Yochel Lachzer B'Chatzi Ayoyim. If you hire a worker, he can walk out on the job whenever he wants. Because of that, when you hire him, if he offers you a discount for payment up front, that is going to be Aser. Because nothing really happens until he actually starts the job. However, the Nekuz HaKesef paskens that if you have a cobbler, if you have a person who is paid by the job, not by the hour, if it's done in a way where he's locked in, he can't quit the job. You have a contract, you make a kinyan, and in this case, many paiskim are makel to give a prepayment discount. So if you hire a gardener, and you will pay him, you agree he's going to cut your lawn four times throughout the season, and he tells you, if you pay me up front, I will give you a discount. So as long as you make a contract and you make a kinyan that he's locked in, he can't back out, that would be mutter. Since he can cut the lawn whenever he wants, and he's getting paid a flat amount, it doesn't matter how long or how short it takes him, he's a cobbler. Since he's a cobbler, he has the right to offer a discount as long as you are locking him in immediately. So there are two cases, and this is where people get a little confused with Hilchos Rebbes, but let's take it slow. What we spoke about 3 weeks ago was you went to a dentist, he did the work, and now, or before the work, he tells you, if you pay as soon as I finish, it'll cost $1,000. If you pay over the next 6 months, it'll cost $1,200. There, the extra $200 is charging you for credit, and that will be awesome. What we're talking about now is the opposite case. He's not doing the work yet today. He goes in, you go for a checkup, he tells you need a root canal. He tells you, I want to do the root canal in 3 months from now. But if right now you commit, we sign a contract, I'll give it to you at a lower price. There, since he's a cobbler, he does the work when he wants and he's not getting paid by the hour, as long as you make a contract and he's locked in, then he has the right to give you a prepayment discount. But in the other case, if it's a question of paying more for paying after the procedure is done, that would be awesome.
But it's going to be something that's going to take a few times to complete.
Fine. So if the deal is that if you pay by the end, it's $1,000. If you pay beforehand, I'll give you a discount. There, since the dentist is locked in, he's a cobbler, and assuming you write a contract and you do it right with a kinyan, there's no issur for prepayment. No, the Haskalos Malach is not enough. You have to make a specific kinyan that he's any yachal lachzer by. Again, assuming you're doing this before he actually starts. Once he actually starts, if the Haskalos Malach, that would be okay. But again, if it's a kablin and it's Haskalos Malach, you can, right. Fine. But he cannot charge a premium for paying after the last visit. He can give you. There can be a difference between paying by the first visit and the last visit. You can't charge extra if you wait past that last visit.
Yeah, let's say the case with the dentist, actually. He said, $12. After he does the job, and he says, I'll give you a break, you
Very good, very good. So there, like there, the halacha is like this: if he does the job, it's $1,200 whether you pay me on time or over the next 30, 60, or 90 days. After the job is done, he has the right to say, "Listen, pay me today, and I'll give you a discount." Because there, you already owe the $1,200. The malva is basically saying, "I'm being moichel part of the choy for you to pay it right away." That's mutter. But if before he starts, he tells you, "I'm going to do the job. The price is $1,000 if you pay today. It's $1,200 if you pay over 90 days." There are two prices. And there, if you pay the $1,200, you have a problem. But it's only in your case where you already did it, you already owe the $1,200, and he's promising you a discount or a mechila not to wait until the end. That particular case would be mutter. So going back to a koblin, as long as he is a koblin, he's getting paid by the job, not the hour. He can do it when he wants. And you make a kinyan, he's locked in. There's no problem with prepayment discount. Now it sounds like the case of the gardener should be mutter. He's a koblin, so he's allowed to offer a discount as long as you make a kinyan and a contract and lock the parties in. They can't back out in the middle. The complication you have is that when you hire a gardener to cut your lawn, so if he does the work himself, he comes once a month with his lawnmower and he cuts the grass. Great, he's a koblin. The deal started already. It's not called hakdamas mois. But very often, the person who you're dealing with, especially if he's a yid, is not the one that's actually going around cutting your grass. He has people that work for him, and they're the ones that actually do the work for you. So the question is, when I hire someone, and he's not going to do the work himself, does he have this din of a koblin? Does he have this din of pol yochel lapsabay, not yochel, no, he can't be choizer, kinyan, not kinyan? So this is very unclear on the Paiskim. The Bris Yehuda is machmer, and he says that it'll really depend on the case. If you hire a contractor or a gardener, he's a gardener himself. Now it happens to be, he has a lot of clients, so it's more cost effective for him to get someone else to do the work. But if his worker doesn't show up, he'll go ahead, he'll do it. So in such a case, you're hiring him, whether he delegates it or not is irrelevant, and you could be magdim lemois. In contrast, if you're building a house and you hire a foreman, now you know this foreman doesn't know how to do roofs. And if he tries to do the roof, it's going to be leaking. That's not what he's there for. He's there to hire other people and to make sure those other people do the job correctly. So in such a case where it's not his responsibility is just to oversee the project, but he's not actually doing the work, this concept of a koblin, a poil with a kinyan would not apply, and you would not have this heter. Now many cases really fall under this category. When you have when camps run these prepay early bird specials, where if you pay in advance you get a better deal. So if you're talking about someone who's running a camp in his backyard, and he is the camp, he is the counselor, he does everything, could do everything. So then, as long as you make a kinyan, the truth is in a camp it's probably a pile anyway, because they have specific hours that they have to work. So there, anyway, you'll have the problem. But even in other cases, if he's doing the work or could do the work himself, this concept would apply. But in many cases where it's a bigger operation and the person you're dealing with is not actually doing the work, there you would not have this answer. Now, in the case of a camp, he's not a koblin. There are two criteria for a koblin. One criteria, the main point is that he works for himself. He's his own boss. Now, what that means is two things. It means he does not get paid by the hour. He gets paid by the job. And he can choose his hours. In a case of a camp, he's making a commitment. He's going to be there from 9 to 5 or whatever the hours of the camp are. So he has to work these hours for you. So in such cases, according to many poskim, he would have a din of a pile. Right. So in a case of a gardener where he could do it himself, and if his worker doesn't show, he probably will do it himself. If he can't, the problem is that you're not hiring him to do the work. You're paying him maybe to arrange it or to hire other workers, and you know you're paying him because he's not the one doing the work, he's not your poyo. He's not your koblin. He's someone who gets paid to arrange for a koblin to do that work for you. Right. So in the modern Hebrew, a kablan is what you call, you know, is what you call a contractor. But to the extent that he's not doing the work, whatever you're paying him for his management services and a chanami, if he's getting paid a fee for managing this, and he wants to give you a discount on that fee, that's certainly mutter. But if you want to get a discount on the whole thing, on all the other people's fees and expenses and whatever else he's doing, there the Bris Yehuda points out, since that relationship is not as a payol or a koblin, that would be awesome. But in chanami, if he charges $50,000 fee to oversee this project, on that fee he can certainly give you a discount as long as you make a kinyan and you know, at the time of the discount. It depends on in many cases it's a company or something where everyone gets the money up front or it gets passed along. But if your discount is only on his fee, the workers are not getting anything in advance, or you don't have any exact cheshbonos. But in a case where he could do the work himself, where that, you know, that's, it doesn't make a difference who does it, then, and you know, the fact that he decides to subcontract it out should not make a difference. But in a case where that's not his responsibility to actually physically do the work, so then usually there's no breakdown what his fee is and what he's paying his workers. You have no idea what that is, and there where it's one package deal, it's hard to be makel. I don't know what the heter for an early bird specialist. Again, we'll get back to one heter in some cases at the end of this year.
Is it a mitzvah?
A camp?
Yeah.
I mean, unless your kids are really dangerous when they're bored, I don't think so. With a school, if schools offer you tuition, there they say such svaras that if it could be to dvar mitzvah, then it's motzer. Right. But on the other hand, again, for moise, the heter of moise is something you're not going to have because you're charging them the interest. They're getting paid less. It's a question of Dvar Mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah is not Mekel by Dvar Mitzvah. So it's Shulchan Aruch Rav is Mekel, but it's hard. Yes, if the camp is a corporation, you always have, according to the Gris Meish, you would not have a problem. And over here, since you are dealing with a Ribbis Drabonon, many people will be stomach on it. You have to be a little bit hesitant before you apply it, because a small camp run out of someone's house, or it's very hard. They may be incorporated, but at the end of the day, if they decide not to open up, I don't think they can tell you that, you know, I shut down the corporation, I'm keeping the deposit. So in a small camp, you know, where it's a high mishnah relationship, you're not going to have that heter. But in a larger camp, which is a corporation, and if you understand that if they shut down or something, then you have no claim against the owner personally, and then the Igros Moshe would apply. Now let's just get in. We have a lot to get in at the end of the year, so let's see how far we get. There's a third type of ribbis, but when we're dealing with Derech Mekach U'Memkar. And this is probably the most difficult form of ribbis, because it's not very obvious. What the Mishnah Ayin Beis tells us is that Ein Poiskin Al HaPeiros Ad Sheyotzeh HaShaar. You had farmers always had cash flow problems, because they had to invest the money in the beginning of the season, they had to plant, they had to plow, they had to do all the work. Everything has to grow, and then it's not until the crop is ready, that's where they get all of their funds. So if a farmer needs money, his produce is not ready to be sold, it's not ready for the market. So what they would try to do is they would find somebody who had the cash. Now you can't be mavel b'ribbis. So what he wanted to do is he wants to sell the produce that is not ready yet. It's buying futures. Pay me today, and I'll deliver the goods in 6 months when everything is ripe. So the halacha is like this. The halacha is that if you set a price, if you lock in a price in exchange for getting money in advance, you run into problems. Now, if apples are $10 a pound, and they're available today, and the farmer says, pay me today, I'll give it to you in 6 months, and you can have it for $8 a pound. That's obviously awesome. There, you're getting the money in advance, you're getting a discount, you're mefarish, or it's obvious. That's certainly going to be awesome. The chiddush over here is, the case is talking about apples are not on the market, because no one has apples yet. They're not ready. We didn't import it from other countries. Still, the halacha is setting a price today in exchange for prepayment is awesome. Because maybe at the time that the apples are ready for delivery, at that point, maybe the price will go up. So if there's a shahr and you're discounting it, that's always going to be awesome. But if there's a shahr, if it's readily available at $8 a pound, and you accept prepayment at $8 a pound, that's fine. Because since it's readily available, there's no ribbis here. The buyer doesn't have to, can go to the store and just buy it himself for $8. Or the seller also, he can take the money and just, so there's no ribbis. But when it's not available on the open market, and the parties negotiate, we're going to lock in a price today, and you'll deliver it at this committed price, this is going to be usur because maybe the price will be off. Maybe at the time of delivery it will be worth more, and that maybe itself is enough to be usur. So even though maybe the price may not go up, we're agreeing at $8, maybe $8 will be the fair price 6 months from now, but still, since there is a tzad, since it is possible that you'll end up getting more than the $8 that you're paying, that itself is called psika, and that will be awesome. There are three major heterim for psika. The first is, as you mentioned, if the goods are readily available at this price, if there's a market already, everyone, the other farmers already brought their stuff to market. So for the $8 a pound, you don't have to go through this deal and give it to the farmer in advance. You can just go down the block to the makolin and buy it. So in such a case, it's clear no one's gaining or nothing is being special is being given in exchange for this hakdamas mois, there will be mutter. The second big heter is when it's yeshle. If the farmer has the goods and it's ready or it's just about ready, so then since it's basically done, even though he's not going to deliver it for another couple of months, still we look at it as if the sale happened right away since it's basically ready for delivery. And therefore, you're allowed to lock in a price.
He has to have the full amount?
Yes. In this halacha, he has to have the full amount ready, you know, more or less ready to go. Could be missing one or two steps. More than that is going to be a problem. Now, the last heter, and this is a little bit more controversial. This is a machlokes, is if you have something that will never have a set price. Now, let's say you're buying something unique. So we're agreeing now, if you pay up front, we'll lock in the price. So what's the problem? The problem is that maybe at the time of delivery, the price will go up. And now it looks like ribbis. Everyone sees you paid in advance. And at the delivery, the thing was worth $10 a pound. You only paid $8. That's a problem. But if you have something that will never have a clear price, so no one will, there will not be a mechzik ribbis. It doesn't look like ribbis because even at the time of delivery, no one knows whether you're getting a good deal, not a good deal. And there, it would be, there according to many places, it would be mutter. Now, the most common case that these issues come up is when a person buys something, you order something, and you know, very often, especially if you're dealing with custom furniture or if you order furniture, the store wants to protect themselves, so they tell you have to pay up front when you put in the order. Now, if you're paying up front and they give you a discount, that's clearly going to be awesome. But what we're learning now is that even without a discount, if when you pay up front, they agree to lock in the price, this is how much you pay, and even if the price changes, the dollar goes up, it goes down, and the price changes between now and delivery, since you signed the contract back then, this is the firm price, this l'chayr will be awesome. Because they're locking in the price in exchange for prepayment. Now, if the seller has it in stock, that's butter, because it's yeshle. We look at it as the sale happened right away. Also, if it's readily available at this price, if it's something which there's yotza hashar and anyone can buy at this price, it will also be mutter. But if you don't have either of the two, if you're buying custom furniture and it doesn't have anything in stock, so in such a case, you would have this problem of psika. The shayla also comes up very often. A person will buy a house. So you sign a contract, you put a certain amount of money down. In exchange for the contract, the seller locks in the price. Delivery does the closing that usually takes place a few weeks or a few months later. This l'chayr has the same shayla. And if the value of the property goes up in between, this should be awesome. Now over here, you have a few potential heter. If you're selling a house that exists, so over here, you have heter of yeshle. The seller has the house. It's standing. He can sell to you right now. He can close today. So it happens to be you have a mortgage contingency, the closing won't take place for a few weeks. But since it's Yeshloi, since he has it, the halacha is the issur of psika will not apply, and there's no problem locking in the price. However, if you're buying a house on paper, so you sign a contract, you put money down, and the house now has to be built, it's not going to be done for another year, another 2 years from now. Here, it's not Yeshloi. The builder may own the property, but you're not buying the property, you're buying the house. So since the house does not exist, here you don't have a heter of Yeshloi. And here, if your builder is locking in the price, 2 years from now, the price might be higher than it is today. He's locking in the price in exchange for prepayment. This should be a problem. Oh, very good. So it depends what happened. If you're putting the money in an escrow account, then the shaila doesn't start. The whole issue is you're advancing money. In exchange for that advance, for that loan, the person is locking in the price. That's only true if the money is released to the builder. However, if it's sitting beyond a shlish, if it's sitting in an escrow account by an attorney, you haven't lent the money to the builder. He has no access to that money. And in that case, it would certainly be mutter. Now, it's always a good idea anyway to keep the money in escrow, but you now have, if you need another reason, you now have another halacha reason why you're better off keeping the money in escrow. That's true. Every case of psiko, we don't know whether the price will go up or the price will go down. Nevertheless, if the price does go up and you're committing to give it, deliver it at that cheaper price, it still will be awesome.
In the case of the furniture store, how do they protect themselves once you order it?
Very good. Very good. So this leads us to the Marsham. The Marsham says a very nice chiddush. Marsham says that the whole issur over here is you're demanding prepayment. And we look at it, the reason why you're getting the discount is in exchange for this prepayment. Zog the Marsham, in a situation where the person asks for a minimal amount, and it is clear and obvious to everyone that this is just being done to lock you in. He's not committing to this price. There's nothing to do with the fact that it's Akdamas Mois. He just needs it as protection, because otherwise he's afraid you're going to walk away and leave him with a half-finished house that he can't sell. So in such a case, the Marsham says, there's no issur. The issur of psika is only you're giving the money, and we look at the fact that this price freeze as payment for the loan. But if it's done in a way where you're giving a minimal amount, and it's obvious to everyone, it's just there for security, that the builder knows you're not going to walk away, in that case, the Marsham is matter. Now, based on this, when it's a question of buying a house, if they're asking for a deposit, which is obvious, that it's there just to secure the buyer, to make sure he doesn't walk away, there, based on this Marsham, there are many people that will be makel. You have to be careful, because if they ask for an excessive deposit, and you know, five, six years ago when the real estate market was hot, builders took advantage of that, and they insisted people pay larger deposits. They didn't need it for security. It was done because why should they have to finance the project? They may as well get the money up front from the buyer. So in such a case, the Marsham's heter would not apply and you would have a problem. Now with houses, there is also very often the third heter that we discussed, and that is the issur is only if at the time of delivery, the price may go up. So it'll be obvious. You're getting a discount because you got a prepayment. Something that never has a clear price, it never has a shar yadua, even at the time of delivery, no one will really see that there's ribbis. They won't know that the discount is because of the prepayment. Houses, the general klal is ein einol lekarkois. Houses generally do not have very set or specific values. There's a range, and therefore, in most cases, because it doesn't have a specific price, you will have the heter. You'll have this heter. Again, it's a machlokes, but you'll have a heter according to some poskim. On the other hand, if you're buying a townhouse, you know, in Lakewood, you have a complex where there are 60 of the exact same houses, and they all have the exact same value. That would be a case where even though it's karka, still, bottom line is, it has a shar yadua, it has a well-defined price, and therefore, if you're getting a discount, or if you're locking in the price, and he's asking for an excessive deposit, more than he needs to lock you in, that would be a problem. Excuse me?